Hey, how are you guys? This is Sean Mathis, CEO and founder of the Millionaire Masterminds. And I am super, super excited today because I get to share with you a story that will inspire anybody who is thinking about getting into real estate or who is in real estate and looking to find their passion again and really get motivated by a success story that is truly unique. And I have with us a special guest, Elena Smirnova. And as you guys know, I do a lot of celebrity masterminds, and we do speaking engagements and coaching sessions and things of that nature. And we a couple years ago, we did a program with Frederick Eklund of Million Dollar Listing New York. It was Frederick Eklund 1.0, and then we came back full circle and went a little bit deeper into the topics that Frederick found very insightful for him and helped hundreds and hundreds of agents across the country in guiding them in what led him to the place that he's at today as one of the country's top brokers and one of the top brokers in New York and the shining star of the most successful franchise of the Million Dollar Listing show. And Elena was part of that program, and that's where we got to meet each other and going through these programs. And then she actually got to come out to New York and tour some listings with Frederick, got to meet him, have dinner with him, and he selected 20 people out of his classes that he did to come out and see some of his newest developments and talk with his entire team. And it was just a really incredible experience. And although it was 2 years ago, many of the agents from around the world still communicate on a daily basis in a private forum. And so we get to hear of success stories that have happened and things of that nature. We get to kind of follow the success of the agents that took part in that and how that molded their career and what direction that's led them in. And so we got to hear a fantastic story with Elena, where she actually set a Manhattan record doing a $17 million deal with Frederick. So I want to talk to you guys about that, share her story. And so, Elena, thank you so much for taking time with us. And why don't you share a little bit about yourself, a little background on yourself, and how you got into real estate?
Sure. Hi, Sean. It's great to be here. I'll just start by sharing with you a little bit my background. I'm originally from Moscow, Russia, and my family moved to the small town of Boulder, Colorado, when I was just 5 years old. We ended up staying there because we loved it so much, and we originally ended up moving there because my dad got a job in the U.S. My parents are actually both scientists. My mom, Tanya, is a meteorologist, and my father, Andre, is an oceanologist. So I grew up in a very creative household. I'm very proud of that, though, because it has taught me to think outside the box, which later on I'll discuss how that relates to real estate. My parents have always supported and encouraged me, and I definitely wouldn't have made it this far without them. I have an older brother, Andre, who's 8.5 years older, and he's a computer software engineer. And now he's actually pursuing his passion, which is being a journalist of cars and trucks. My sister-in-law, Samantha, is actually a rocket scientist, a real rocket scientist. And I have an adorable niece and nephew, Sophie and Max. So a little bit about myself growing up. I've always been creative and into all of the arts. I played piano from age 9 and later became a concert pianist. I danced ballet for 18 years, and I'm also good at painting and writing. My dad is also an inventor, and his aunt is a renowned concert pianist from Russia who was actually my first piano teacher. Later, my dad went on to start his own company, so being a business person was kind of in my genes. I didn't like the thought of being tied to an office job and being limited in what I could earn, and I always thought big. I recall telling my mom when I was a little girl that I really wanted to become a millionaire and invent a potion that would make her live forever. I'm still working on those two, but I'm sure I'll get there soon enough. I love the arts because the harder you work at them, the better you get, and the achievements feel so rewarding, though not always tangible. I ran for president of my middle school and won, so I guess I've always had a leader streak in me and have strived to impact my own surroundings. I was athletic and played tennis, but once I got into high school, all my attention turned towards academics and piano and some ballet as well. I didn't have time for anything else. I got straight A's, but not because my parents pressured me or anything. On the contrary, they actually always told me to take it easy because I was so hard on myself. But in my mind, they brought us to the U.S. to give us a better life, and I couldn't let them down. And I knew that I had to get good grades in order to get into a good college. I ended up choosing to go into piano performance because it was my passion at the time. And I saw that I still had lots of potential, and I couldn't let that go to waste. I got a scholarship from the University of Colorado in Boulder, and I studied with a teacher that had completed his bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degrees at Juilliard. His name is David Korovar. My dream was always to move to New York and study at a conservatory. So after my undergraduate, I auditioned and got into Manhattan School of Music for my master's, which was my top choice, my top school. That same year, I won an international piano competition, and the prize was to perform solo piano at Carnegie Hall. I was super thrilled. Everything was going great, and I actually also ended up meeting my now husband, Abdiel Vasquez, at Manhattan School. So that's a little bit of my story. I can start going into how I got into real estate.
What led you into real estate with such a background in arts and science? You know, a lot of times folks that get into the real estate world typically have a more of an eccentric sales background and don't tend to be so artsy. So it's a really unique transition. So at what point was it, you know, in your college career or thereafter that you decided you wanted to explore real estate, and what led you in that direction?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've actually always wanted to have my own company. So I've had an entrepreneurial spirit my whole life. And I was always good at math and science as well. So I do have the background of the analytics as well. In 2012, started my own company called Little Chopin's in Manhattan, which is a music teacher's agency, and we bring the most talented teachers in New York City to students' homes. So that was my first kind of dive into business, the business world. Now, while our company was getting off the ground, I decided to get my real estate license. I got it in 2 weeks, and the rest is really history. The broker who got me my apartment in New York actually was a CEO of a real estate company called Area New York, and he said he would hire me. But my original interest in real estate was really by chance. I was helping my piano teacher find a new house at the time, and she mentioned to me in passing that I have some sort of skill for it because I could navigate through all the houses and find the really good ones. And that's probably because I'm very obsessive in my searches. But she said maybe I should think about doing it part-time in addition to my piano teaching and playing concerts. So the reason why I really did choose real estate is I found that it was, honestly, to see if I can succeed in something totally new to me and break all of my old records and standards. So real estate clicked for me right away. It kind of was like the perfect fit. It worked in every way. And even though I didn't quite know what I was doing at first, I was closing deals, which was amazing to me. So actually in New York, most agents start off in rentals. So that's what I did. And it was a lot more income than teaching or playing concerts, and much quicker money too. Like, for example, an average rental in New York is $3,300, and we charge a 15% of the year's rent fee. So that's almost $6,000 commission. And in my first company, I made almost 100% of the commission. That's how the split was. So for me, it was amazing. I was like super impressed and I loved it. It was very natural to me.
So at what point when you got in, because real estate is tough. I mean, let's be honest. You know, we got a lot of real estate agents that come into the business and they flounder and oftentimes turn out of the business really quick. There's a lot of turnover in the insurance industry, or excuse me, in the real estate industry. So at what point when you got in, did you finally decide, okay, I love this? Like, what do you have a defining moment where you're like, this is it. I am in love with what I'm doing, and this is my calling. I'm going at it 100%, and this is my deal.
Yeah, I have a moment that sticks out, but I became a full-time agent before I actually had this realization, and I hopped from company to company in search of the right atmosphere and fit. So it wasn't until about October in 2014 that I finally found the perfect one. It's my current company, LG Fairmont, and they're really unique because it was started by two entrepreneurs, and they have their MBAs from Columbia University. Their names are Aaron Graff and Derek Lee, and they started this company about 5 years ago. And it's a completely different model from most real estate companies in that they focus more on the buy side of sales and have a very successful lead generation system, which was exactly what I was looking for. I don't know exactly the ins and outs of all of their software, but getting the listings in the city is incredibly competitive, as we all know. And being a new agent, it's even harder unless you know a lot of people that trust you with selling their home. So it was very, very difficult to get into sales without having this lead generation behind me. So as soon as I was able to kind of, you know, enter the sales market and work with buyers, I knew that this was the right thing for me because it was like a fish to water. I was, you know, immediately closing deals. I was very happy, and actually in just a year and a half of doing sales, I sold over $25 million.
Wow, that's incredible. So at what point along the way did you hear about the Millionaire Masterminds and learn about Frederick Eklund and the fact that he was launching this coaching program, and what pulled you to you know, take that course and be part of that?
Yeah, so I started following Frederick on Facebook from 2013, I believe, and he posted that he is doing a mastermind program for up-and-coming agents. So I didn't hesitate at all. I signed up right away. I was really blown away by the program. It was incredible in so many ways. It was inspiring, and it was touching to know that he's also such a great and humble person. So I was incredibly impressed. The first thing that stood out to me is that he also was an entrepreneur before getting into real estate, and we both had a passion for New York City. Also, he said one of his favorite books is The Power of Now, which I couldn't believe it when he said that because it's been my favorite book since I was 18, and I must have read it at least a dozen times. So that's when I knew in my gut that I found the right program and the right mentor. The other thing I really loved is the amazing community that you guys built from the Millionaire Masterminds program. I loved interacting with agents from all over the world and talking about topics that were so relevant and important to me, and I didn't have anyone else to really discuss them with. Frederick's program really made me look deep inside for the first time since I changed my career path and asked myself, why do I love real estate? Why did I choose real estate? And I found that the answer was not just the money, but to see if I can succeed in something totally new to me and break all of my old records and standards. So the other thing I found was that I love real estate because I love that there's no cap or limit to to what I can earn. And I mentioned before they never wanted a secure salary job. And I loved analytics, architecture. The buildings in New York City are amazing. So I thought, what better place to do real estate? Working with people has always been my passion. And I love the psychology involved in the selling process and getting people to actually trust me and work with me. So I love setting challenges for myself, and this was definitely a big one. I loved that you get rewarded for how much you work, how much work you put in, and that it's way more tangible and lucrative than music. Also, I love the mystery that you don't know when the next time you're going to get paid, so you have to constantly be working and evolving. So all of these things became very clear to me during the mastermind program. Another thing Frederick said that stuck with me actually was to constantly reinvent yourself. I think it's important in a field like real estate where you have to stay on your toes or you get lost in the crowd. So I'm always evolving and searching for ways to improve. And also his negotiation tactics have helped about the push and pull energy you need to have and unpredictability to have a successful negotiation. And, you know, most of all, like, he's all about having fun. That's pretty much his motto. So I took that to heart, and I truly do believe that happy people are successful people, and your clients tend to pick up on that.
Absolutely. You know, the Frederick Mastermind was not something that we pre-scripted. I was hearing the information right along with everybody else, which is one of the things that I really love. You know, sometimes you get into these type of mentorships or coaching programs and you either never actually get to speak with the trainer themselves. I mean, if you look at any of the other coaching programs out there with Tony Robbins or, you know, Tom Ferry or Brian Buffini, any of these huge real estate companies that are coaching companies, you don't get on the phone with those guys. You talk with trainers and you hear call recordings and things of that nature. And Frederick was like, I don't want to do that. I want to talk with them. I want to interact. That's why I'm doing this. I want it to be real. I want to know who they are. I want to hear their stories, and I want to share the stories from my heart, not from the script. And I said, okay, that's what we'll do then. And so I got to hear it for the first time right there with you guys. And, you know, it really went to a whole different place than I would have anticipated. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe than everybody else, you know, anticipated. For the 1.0 anyway, he talked very much about the topics of finding that inner drive and that inner strength and really taking a hard look and doing that self-assessment that you had talked about. And I think that was one of the most profound elements of that program that people, one, didn't expect, and two, had probably never really taken to heart and done. And, you know, finding out that it's not always about, you know, leads and, you know, who can make the most cold calls or whatever the case might be, but it first starts within in order to be successful. And I also like the parallels that you guys share coming from another country and getting into real estate and really starting mm-hmm. with nothing, not having anybody around, not knowing anybody, and just having a passion to build something great from scratch and not coming into a system where you're fed tons of people or you have so many contacts. And so it was a really unique experience. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people thought the same thing, especially for you. Now, which part of that program do you think that you really decided, wow, this is great? Because you went on to take the second one as well, yes?
Yeah, I took the second one as well because you said it was going to be in more detail and more depth. And after the first one, I just knew this was a very special thing. I didn't know if he was going to continue doing these programs. And so I just took advantage of it. After the mastermind, I definitely got a lot more clarity of what I want and what my goals are, which I was not expecting, as you said. I was extremely motivated and inspired, and I also feel like I matured a lot during that time because Frederick helped to open my eyes to the big picture. I was no longer worrying about my commission because that was very short-sighted thinking, and I became focused more on building strong, lasting relationships with my clients, and that actually has paid off, you know, tenfold. Also, my deals started to get a lot smoother because of the experience that I gained, and I became much better at preparing my clients for any bumps that could happen in the road. I used to think that deals that were really difficult were just bad luck, but now I see that it was partly my fault. And that kind of honesty is very important to have, I think, when you're working in a business like real estate. Also, I started to be much more open with my clients, as Frederick said, to be myself and also share my dreams instead of acting like what I thought a top agent has to be like. I mean, that really, really resonated with me. And so much of closing deals is about the relationships and the first impression you make with clients. I remember Frederick saying that when he works with celebrities, he isn't intimidated by them, but rather he makes them feel real and makes sure that they can say, I could have lunch with that person. So I took that advice, and I treat every client since then like a close friend and make sure that they feel important, because they are. And as you said, I related a lot to Frederick. He actually opened up to us a lot, and he said he used to get affected a lot by the roller coaster ups and downs of real estate. And I thought, if he used to feel like that and now he's on top of everything, then I can get over my weakness as well. And I really worked hard, and I did. I actually really love Barbara Corcoran's quote, failure is my specialty. And the other one is, the difference between successful people and others is how long time they spend feeling sorry for themselves. So now, anytime a deal that doesn't work out, no matter how much time I put into it, I get up and keep going forward because there's nothing else to do. And I also tell myself, I get paid for all the deals that don't work out, not for the ones that do, and that helps me along as well. I'm actually probably going to talk a little bit later about the deal, but I wanted to mention now the buyer that I brought to Frederick's listing. He asked about my background in between appointments and how I ended up in real estate, and I think I look pretty young for my age, so people quite often ask me this. So I told him my story, you know, that it was my dream to come to New York City and become a great musician. And then my dreams shifted when I realized I can't make much money being a classical musician. And he replied, oh, that's very smart. And then I told him about my company and that I went into real estate because it interested me. But then I stayed because it was the perfect fit. And I also mentioned that a lot of the reason why I stayed in real estate is the training that I got from Frederick. And I think he seemed to be very impressed by that. And I think I won him over also because he's a self-made businessman. So he could relate to my ambitious self, and he saw that I was being sincere. So I learned that people like to work with people that they trust, but also with people that they can relate to in some way. So to wrap it up, Frederick's advice about being genuine was completely right.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, we'll let's talk about that. But, you know, I remember that week very vividly in talking about that authenticity. And, you're exactly right. The marketplace is starving for authenticity. And so many people that wanted to be part of Frederick's program did so, I'd say initially, because they came into it thinking, I want to know how he's doing all of these developments. How is he getting all the developers? How is he listing buildings rather than apartments and units? You know, how is he doing all of these huge things? And everybody was looking for this secret sauce that Frederick had.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that it was a level of authenticity and clarity that he has that so many people miss. And like you alluded to earlier, that so many people come into the business and they try to put on a different facade for every client they're in front of, trying to mirror what they think that client wants. And at the end of the day, what the client wants is to know that they can trust you, and that happens through authenticity. So rather than you coming up with some fairy tale or making yourself sound mm-hmm. like somebody that you're not, just being Elena is what truly made that connection and solidified that relationship for you guys. And I think that's an amazing story of how you were able to take that advice and apply it. And then here we are full circle 2 years later, and mm-hmm. you're doing a 17.5 million dollar deal or 17 million?
Yeah, 17.5.
Yeah. So like how does that feel coming back, like actually coming back 2 years later and from where you were learning from the mentor, now you're side by side going into escrow on a record setting deal in Manhattan?
Yeah, it's quite unbelievable. I guess I'll start from the beginning just to give you guys the whole story. Well, my company, LG Fairmont, gave me this $3 million lead in October of 2015, and it ended up being the client who purchased this $17.5 million penthouse at 25 Mercer. At the time, though, he was looking for a PA to tear with a budget of $6 million. So I sent him several listings, but he never made it to the city to see them, and he put his search on hold. So I kept following up, and then finally in March of this year, I sent him a listing on Broome Street for $3.25 million, and I thought he would like it. He replied right away that he and his girlfriend really like the feel of it. So the next day, he was actually traveling to New York City on business, and we met, and he saw the apartment. You know, the unit was nice, but not ideal. It needed work on the bathrooms, and it didn't have enough closet space. And his girlfriend needed a lot of closet space, and I don't blame her. Also, it was a co-op, which isn't ideal for him, because they ask for every financial paper under the sun to get past the board, and he is very private. Also, co-ops have restrictions on subletting, so he didn't like that. He told me, though, the following week his girlfriend was coming to the city for a few days, and he wanted me to show her some apartments. So I ended up showing her about 16 properties over the course of 3 to 4 days, and we became really good friends over that time. So she picked her top two choices, one of which was 25 Mercer, and not the penthouse, but a loft on the third floor for $8 million. She said they could probably extend their budget a little more, but wasn't sure, and that she needed to check with him first. So she goes back to Canada, which is where they're both from, and tells her boyfriend about her top choices. So knowing how quickly real estate trades in New York, they made another trip the following weekend together to see her top picks. But before I set up the appointment, the guy calls and tells me, hey, Elena, can we actually see all the penthouses in Soho as well? I was like, okay. And he didn't imply a budget. So in advance, I sent him all the nicest penthouses up to $18 million. And he just replied, perfect. So that was that. And I made the appointments. We spent actually another 3 days looking at 14 properties, and they still love 25 Mercer the best, except now it was the penthouse for $17.5 million. For him, privacy and outdoor space were very important, and to her, it was open space and closets, and they both ended up getting what they wanted, plus a lot more. This apartment, though it's not completed yet, and we were walking around in the raw and dusty space, was ahead of the others by a landslide. It had soaring ceilings, high-end custom finishes, three floors, with the top floor being a huge double terrace with a fireplace. It has five bedrooms, six bathrooms. I mean, it was like a dream house, and all of this on a quiet block, but still super close to everything. So actually, John, Frederick's business partner, was the one doing the showing. And he was my contact throughout the whole negotiation because I think Frederick is just too busy these days. But I loved working with John. He's amazing as well. He's so nice, and he was so great to work with. But after that showing, it actually took my buyer about a month to make up his mind, so I was worried it could get sold or go into contract. Luckily, it didn't, and he officially made an all-cash offer that was accepted. Before he put the offer, though, he asked me for advice on what to offer, so I sent him a list of comps showing that actually the price of this penthouse was on point. So also, we'd seen all the other lofts and penthouses, so he knew it was definitely worth it and a no-brainer. To top this story off, though, he actually ended up buying this apartment as a surprise for his girlfriend. And he told me not to tell her, so I was dying. I was like, I want to post this all over social media, and I couldn't until he finally told her, like, a couple weeks ago. But that's my story. It's been quite a roller coaster.
Wow. So yeah, did the Real Deal publication come out? Because there was a lot of buzz around the transaction. Did he get to break the news, or did one of the media outlets get a hold of it first?
No. Well, she actually wasn't checking the media outlets, and she follows me on Instagram, but I didn't post anything. So he did.
Good.
I think he was afraid. I was really careful because I didn't want to break the surprise. You know. Such a big thing, such a big purchase.
Right.
And it's funny because we're close friends now, so we're texting, you know, every week. And she's like, yeah, I hope we can finally get the apartment soon, but I have to wait for him to, like, decide when he wants to do that. And I'm like, yeah. So.
But all the while you knew.
Yeah, I knew. I couldn't say a word, you know. It was so funny. But. Yeah, the Real Deal came out the next week that we put it in contract, and it was the biggest sale in Manhattan that week. So, yeah,
awesome.
it was crazy.
So that obviously took a lot of work with your buyers. I mean, you showed them dozens of properties.
Yeah.
But what I find interesting is that they started off at – 3.2 or 3.5 million when it originally started. So, like, for the new agents that might be listening, or for any agent for that matter, I think a lot of times in real estate, you know, I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of realtors and gone through and facilitated programs that had thousands of realtors all over the world, and I find that, you know, more and more today, real estate agents are becoming so much more transactional in nature. You know, they get leads, and with the automation and search engines that are out there and different tools to just put buyers on drips, and a buyer says $3 million, and here's an area,
mm-hmm.
and they'll plug the details into a system, and then the people will just get an automatic email with the new listings that come up and the market updates, and they can kind of just fish through those, and they wait for the buyer to give them, you know, here, let's go look at these. But it doesn't sound like that was at all with what transpired there, and what it seems like what was found by really digging and working with them so much on such a deeper level than just setting up a $3 million parameter in a geographic area and letting it drip out and waiting for them to tell you what they want. So tell us how you went about that and pulled $17.5 million out of what started with three.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's super important to actually handpick the listings that you send to your buyers, especially the bigger ones that you've already been in touch with. I mean, if it's a lead that you haven't actually interacted with, maybe the drip system could, you know, work and they could reply at some point with their search criteria. But again, in New York City, there's so many real estate agents, and people with this amount of money usually have recommended agents and whatnot. But this guy, you know, he was actually working with 4 other brokers, and he told me that. I ended up, you know, kind of winning him over because I think I really grasped what he wanted. You know, I got his he was saying he wanted a lot of character in the apartment, and he didn't have problem doing renovations. So I was sending him lots of apartments with character that really fit his criteria. But also, he was going through a lot of changes in the last, you know, 6 months because he sold one of his companies. So he didn't know he was actually going to have a lot more cash on hand. That's also, you know, I couldn't predict that either. I think this was just kind of the perfect storm of the best scenario that could have happened. And also, he sold off his house in Toronto, so they're actually moving here full-time to New York City. So this is like an important purchase. They're going to be, you know, there every day. So it was quite a process. But I would just say to agents, you know, like, be very meticulous and tenacious with those clients, especially if you've interacted with them already, and they're going to feel special. They're going to feel like you really care about them. And the other thing is, I found that you need to connect with whatever their favorite thing is and capitalize on that. And I picked up, I think it's important to be perceptive. So I picked up on that when I met this guy the first time. He said the reason why he's looking at this place is because of the reaction his girlfriend had when she saw it, and he saw it on her face. He wanted her to be that happy about this place. So I knew she's very special to him. So when she came out, I was like, I need to, you know, just treat her great, become her friend, just like Frederick said. We actually did end up having lunch and dinner a few times that week, and she's a sweet girl, like, amazing person. So that's, you know, I think that's really where the secret lies, is find out what their important things are. If it's their dog, or if it's their, you know, a type of food or a restaurant, and treat them to that. They'll really feel appreciated.
Yeah, I think that's really great advice. And you know, as I'm listening to how this all unfolded for you, you know, I'm seeing how, you know, the level of depth, and I think that artistic ability, you know, early on I said, wow, what a difference from the arts to such a very hard industry that is very relentless and unforgiving and competitive, like real estate, especially in New York. I don't know if it gets any more competitive than real estate than New York. And so, you know, I think that background seems to have been able to help you in this transaction, as well as I'm sure many other transactions, and being able to see, because you're in a dusty $17.5 million penthouse that is incomplete, you know, to be able to visualize and help paint that picture of what this is going to look like. Obviously, there's going to be renderings and things of that nature, but you know, I think having that ability and pointing out the characteristics that you can envision, and having that artistic ability is definitely something that helps out. And then also being keenly aware of reactions when they walk through the home, and being able to pick up on these subtle clues that if you're just one of those transactional agents, you're not going to see. And then understanding what's going on in their life and how things are changing, like the entire situation, the entire landscape of everything with the transaction became different. And so being able to see that and know when to make different suggestions on property type and location and things of that nature. So I think that's a valuable lesson to anybody listening, that there's so much going on behind the scenes, consciously and subconsciously with your clients. And I think in markets such as New York and across the country where inventory is so tight, it's just so critical that you're able to find that separation, be different than the other agents, and taking that level of depth with your clients and understanding and being able to hand select properties and pick up on facial expressions and the subtle, you know, a lot of times, you know, they might nudge each other when they walk into the kitchen or point something out and whisper. They're not always as vocal with the agent to tell you everything they like, but you're able to pick up on that and take that back to the drawing board and say, I really know that this layout worked really well. What else has that? And you're going to have to spend some time mm-hmm. and do some research and find those types of properties. So I think that's amazing that you were able to do that. So what's next for you? What are you working on? And you know, if there was one piece of advice that you could give folks listening in, what would that be?
Yeah, well, this summer I have a few clients coming into town that I'll be taking out. I'm still working. You know, I didn't stop working. I didn't go on a vacation at all. Actually, now I'm putting my butt even more in gear because I'm like, now I have to sustain this level of, you know, it was the biggest deal in my company as well because we're a startup. So it was, you know, a big deal. So I feel like I have to continue on, keep working, keep churning my clients. I mean, this is just the beginning for me, I feel like. And this guy has a lot of friends that he could refer to me. So I'm hoping that's going to happen in the near future. So my advice is really for agents to not give up, but first of all, to find out your strengths and your weaknesses and be able to use those to your advantage. You know, maybe my emotional side could be a weakness, but it's also, you know, very sensitive, and I have empathy towards people, and I think that's kind of why I connect with people really well. And I connected with them through music before, but now I can connect with them through finding their home. So find your thing, find what makes you, and improve yourself as much as you possibly can, because people will love that, and people love working with genuine people. So that's about it.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you taking time to share your experience and your background and you know, kind of how this thing has unfolded for you. And congratulations on the success. And,
thank you.
You know, I think we're working as a group. Like you said, we have we've all stayed in touch, and we're working on the much anticipated reunion to get everybody back together in the city. So hopefully we will be able to come and visit you very soon. And, you know, what's a way for folks to get a hold of you? What on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or your website? How do you want people to be able to reach out to you?
I'm very accessible through any social media, so Facebook or Instagram. I don't really use Twitter. For some reason, I just never got into it. And also my contact info is in my Instagram, which is supernova_NY. So.
Awesome. So we'll also post
links
on the website.
Sorry. I'm looking forward to the reunion. And everyone that's in the group, we kept in touch. So it'll be great to see everybody.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Thanks so much, Sean. Take care.
The moderator has left the conference.